Today I want to talk about a very challenging, difficult subject. It can be very painful, but there is a positive story when it's all said and done. I want to talk about the downcast spirit. We're going to be talking about depression today, which is becoming an enormous problem here in the United States. America has the highest teen suicide rate in the world. It's getting even worse. When I was younger, you didn't come across suicide that often. I did have a real good friend of mine in the neighborhood. He had a sister. I was about 11 or 12. He had a sister who was 15. She got pregnant. And there was a weapon in the home. There was a rifle. And she got a hold of the rifle and killed herself because she was pregnant. And I think it was just difficult for her to handle that back then. This was in the early 70s. And it was very sad, very shocking to everybody because I had never come across suicide before. When I was growing up, I never thought of suicide, never crossed my mind. I had some bad days. I think all of us can remember some bad days in our lives, or you get very depressed or very down or discouraged, or maybe the future looks bleak. But it was not a subject discussed. I didn't know of anyone else who committed suicide. But suicide is very much part of the discussion with teenagers and young adults. Since coming to the church and as the years progress and Christ has not returned, you find more and more people having to deal with depression. You even have young children dealing with depression, which is a great tragedy. We live in Babylon. We live in a crazy society. Enormous pressures on our kids and on other adults. We come from a world where many people come out of broken homes. We have many people who never had the wonderful experience of having a loving, caring father. And yes, often, not always, and I don't want to stereotype this, please. This is important not to stereotype this. But you do find, in general, higher rates of depression and extreme depression among people who did not have that father-son or father-daughter relationship. Winston Churchill was a good example of that. He struggled with what was called the black dog of depression. I told you before, sorry for repeating this, but if you haven't heard the story, Churchill said on a number of occasions that when he was going through his black dog moments, when he would go to the railway station, he didn't want to stand too close to the tracks because of the temptation to thrust himself in front of a train. Abraham Lincoln struggled greatly with depression. We're going to have a handout. As a matter of fact, you can start to hand those things out right now. We got two handouts for you today. Many of you on the telephone hookup, we sent an email to you with this image of Churchill and Abraham Lincoln. You just take a look at Abraham Lincoln. And it's rare to see Abraham Lincoln without seeing a countenance of sadness, of overwhelm. He had a very difficult life. His mother died young. He had an okay relationship with his father. And again, I don't want to stereotype that. Just because a person had a bad relationship with their father doesn't mean they're going to be enslaved to chronic depression for the rest of their life. That is not true. There are people who came from intact families, had a wonderful father, and still have to deal with depression. But we come out of this world, which increasingly is filled with broken relationships. And I think that is often one of the root causes of damage in people's relationships or in life itself. And it opens the door to depression. Because if you have a broken marriage, if you have a broken relationship with your father or your mother, if your grown children don't talk to you, that does a lot of damage to human beings. We're humans. God made us having the need to have other human beings in our lives. And when there's stress and fallouts and tempers and broken relationships and people don't talk to one another, or when you do get together for Thanksgiving and everybody's fighting, it wears people down. God intended people to be close, to forgive quickly, to get over things quickly. And when all of that goes to pieces, sure, it creates depression. I know probably one of the biggest areas where I've had to struggle with discouragement, the downcast spirit and depression, is just what has happened to the greater church family. Split after split, good friends that I've known of who don't talk to one another within the context of the church, I hate to hear when churches split, even though I might have my own personal disagreements over doctrine or the way they're governed or something like that. I do not like hearing when a church separates, because I know the absolute chaos that ensues and the pressure that falls upon members and family members and friendships and all of that strain. I hate that. Satan loves the downcast spirit because he will use it to paralyze us. He'll use it to create all types of distortions in our own minds about life, friendships, people, where it can get to a point, and I'm sure most of you have gone through this at some point in time, where you're just so discouraged. It's very difficult to function. It's hard to be productive at work. It's difficult to express your love to your spouse or your children. It's debilitating, and it's perhaps Satan's most subtle weapon, and it may be his most effective weapon. So we're going to talk about it today. I hope to make this a two-part sermon. I don't have all the answers, though the scripture gives us an awful lot in terms of wisdom and guidance and how to deal with it and how to function through, because most of us, and I say 99% of us, are going to have to deal with it to some degree in our lives. You need to equip your children to deal with this. I was talking with somebody here recently, I won't mention his name, but you have to have a strategy to deal with it. You have to have a game plan. You have to have tools. And your kids are going to have to face it. And they probably do to some extent because of the craziness that goes on in the school systems, the incredible focus in our society on body image and success and how that is defined. It's horrific. Pick up a magazine, if you can, that doesn't show an array of, sorry to put it this way, skinny girls. And it's constant. And I'm a man, I don't think about it that much, but I can tell you, your girls will have to deal with that constant thrusting in their face. That you got to be about 5'7 or 5'8 or 5'9 and weigh about 119 to 130 pounds, which is ridiculous. That's absurd. That isn't God's way. They're all different body types and so on, but this is just one of the little ways that Satan can get to us. Remember, it's his society. Men, too, struggle from depression for different reasons. It's a bit of an epidemic in our society, and it is Satan's society. And as Satan's world becomes worse and worse, people are going to have to struggle with this more and more. Everybody's going to have to battle with this. The way I fight it and the way you fight it will be different. Some people, depression is a 2 or 3 day battle from time to time. Other people, it may be within a year, they may have a bad month or two. With some people, it's just constantly there in the background in varying degrees. Everybody's different. The way you battle through it is different. But God gives us ideas on how to deal with it. He can actually use depression for a season to work with us, to make us more compassionate with others. Remember, we're being trained for leadership positions in the kingdom of God. And especially in those early years of the millennium, you're going to have a lot of depressed people. You'll have the kingdom of God, yes, but people will have gone through literal hell. Their lives are going to be broken. They will have lost loved ones. And a big part of dealing with people, leading people at a very personal level, is dealing with their downcast spirit, helping them through the valleys of discouragement. And God wants us to be compassionate. That's a very important aspect of leadership, to be compassionate with people, but to have wisdom as well in helping people get through depression. There's an old parable, and I always thought this was effective. I'm not much for human parables, but it's about Satan's favorite tool. And it says, once upon a time, it was announced that the devil was going out of business. He was going to sell all of his equipment to those who were willing to pay a price. This is a human parable, but it's quite insightful. On the big day of the devil's sale, all of his tools were attractively displayed. One of his tools was envy, another jealousy, hatred was another. Then you have malice, deceit, sensuality, pride. All these tools Satan will use on human beings. Even idolatry. There are other implements of his evil on display. Each of the tools was marked with its own price tag. Over in the corner by itself was a harmless-looking, wedged-shaped tool, very much worn down. But still, it bore a higher price than any of the other tools. It was very high in price. Someone asked the devil what it was, and he answered, "That tool is called discouragement." The next question came quickly, "And why is it priced so high, even though it is plain to see that it is more worn than all the others?" And the devil replied, "Because this tool is more useful to me than all these others. I can pry open and get into a man or a woman's heart with this tool, and I can get closer to him using this tool more so than using any other tool." So much truth to that. That Satan, maybe he can't get to you through covetousness or lust or greed or extreme anger or pride or idolatry, but it's amazing how subtly he can work in a person's life through the instrument of discouragement and depression to the degree where a person becomes so paralyzed they no longer produce fruit. Satan doesn't want you to produce fruit. And if he can tie you up, distort your thinking by becoming discouraged and depressed, regardless of what it is, whether it's family background issues, whether it goes back to your childhood, whether it's the loss of a job, health issues, a broken relationship, a divorce. I've always thought going through a divorce must be one of the most distressful, difficult trials a person could go through. To have an intimate relationship with somebody, physically and emotionally, and then have children, and then years later go through a divorce must be devastating. I've heard it said that you never truly recover from a divorce, that there's always a little bit of wound there, however small. I don't know. I haven't been through it. Hope I would never experience that. But people endure a lot in this life. A lot of people in the church who go through a divorce didn't want the divorce. But circumstances, or because of their spouse's behavior, drug issues and so on, and people have to go through some of these tragedies in life. The death of someone you deeply love can be devastating. God knows all of this. Getting back to the parable, "And the devil said, 'This tool is more useful to me than any other. Once I get inside the human being,'" remember, Satan wants to get inside our minds, he can use that. Depression is extreme low-level energy mentally and emotionally. You all know what I'm talking about. Even teenagers know what I'm talking about. Where you're just so low, it's just difficult to sometimes get through the day or to deal with the challenges of life. He said, "It is worn well because I use it on everybody I can. And few people even know it belongs to me. So the tool was priced so high that no one could buy it. And to this day, it has never been sold." And then we have a photograph for those of you on the internet or on the telephone hookup. I wasn't able to get this out to you. I can do this later, but I thought a very effective image of a woman obviously overcome with discouragement and depression. And did you know that American women lead the world in rates of depression? Something about our culture and our society that just beats up women. Again, I get back to the broken relationship theory, though I think it's more than a theory. Troublesome marriages, broken marriages, trying to raise kids on their own, this rotating sexual partner society, which does enormous damage to people and their psyches. And of course, there's a lot more to it than that, but I do think that is probably the biggest factor. People have different ways of getting away from it, which is not wrong. We'll talk about that today. There are some human things we can do that are biblically sound and not wrong. Churchill loved to paint. He suffered from the black dog severely, even into his adult life. I read this week that Churchill wrote more than Shakespeare. And there was another British author, was it Chaucer, one of the famous British authors. He wrote more than the two of those people combined. He was a prolific writer. One of the ways he dealt with depression was to go outside. He liked the outdoors, sit, paint landscapes in the background, and he found it enormously therapeutic to give his mind rest. It is key to mastering or navigating your way through depression. And you got to find out what works for you. For some people, it's reading a novel. For another person, it may be going shopping. And your children see the way you deal with depression. They notice these things. My mom loved gardening. We had about an acre of land, and Whenever she was a little bit down, she would go out into the garden and she would get her hands in the dirt. And she would often say to me, "You've got to get your hands in the dirt. You never get your hands in the dirt." Well, that doesn't inspire me. When I'm down, I have the blues, I've got the black dog today. I'm not a go up to the garden and put your hands in the dirt kind of person. But everybody's different. My father, the way he handled it, they didn't have major bouts of it, but of course they had their moments. He would do other things. People are different. We'll talk about that.